reading some excerpts out of Matthew chapter 25. Now, this is Jesus telling a parable about the sheep and the goats, and it's where the king is separating the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And it mentions, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, we did not see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink. When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" And Jesus closes out the parable. He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's May 26, 2015. With me on the phone is George Cook, Managing Director of Greystone Consulting, which is a part of the Morgan Stanley's Consulting Group. Well, George, thanks for hanging on the line. I know you're in the midst of a very exciting bike ride. Basically, you've started in Santa Monica, California, headed to Washington, D.C. Why is a professional like yourself spending so many hours on this bike ride?
Well, Mark, thanks so much for taking the time with me today to talk about this Break the Chains bike tour from Santa Monica, California to Washington, D.C. We're just absolutely thrilled to speak with the Great News Radio listener this morning and let them know about this amazing opportunity. We're going to raise awareness of human trafficking, Mark, and let them know that this is an evil that exists in the world that we want to do something about. And people, when they hear about it, want to know what's going on, who's being affected, why are little girls being picked up and abused, and what can I do about it?
And maybe also explain a little about human trafficking. It covers more than just prostitutions and young people. I mean, some are enslaved for many years. It's male, female, though it many times happens with a younger child where they get abducted or forced into a work environment or prostitution. But we're starting to all be educated a little more that this is a heart-wrenching problem throughout the world.
It absolutely is a heart-wrenching problem. Mark, I first got exposed to human trafficking 13 years ago. I was sitting in an office of a hedge fund manager who made millions of dollars a year, but he had on his wall a pair of human shackles, which made me wonder, what is this all about? And as I investigated, I found out they'd been on the feet of a little boy who'd been rolling cigarettes for 14 hours a day. And I pursued a little bit further. The organization that had sent these shackles out was International Justice Mission. And when I called them, they sent me a packet about a little girl who had been forced to do sexual favors for men over and over and over, day after day. And when they sent me her picture and a little notebook of the financial transactions she was doing, my heart was broken. And I thought, this cannot happen. I had a little 13-year-old daughter at the time, and somehow her face got in my mind, you know, got put on the picture of this little girl, and when that happened, I was just ruined. And here's what went through my mind. I thought, if my little girl was somehow abducted and was forced to do sexual favors for men many times a day, what would I do to rescue my daughter? And I thought I'd do anything. And I thought, what would I spend? And I thought I'd spend everything I had to rescue my little girl. And the next thought was, well, who's going to rescue this little girl? Mm-hmm. And who's her daddy? And it dawned on me that she may not have anybody. And so as I talked about it with Melody, we made up our minds that although we couldn't rescue every single slave in the world, we could rescue some. And we began to get worked up about what can we do to have an impact, to rescue some little girl or a group of little girls or maybe rescue a few hundred little girls. And that's really how the energy began to what we're doing today.
So that was about 13 years ago. And then at that time, did you affiliate with IGM, International Justice Missions, or with Mike Rutter, Bright Hope? Because I want to give a little background, and then we'll get back to why you're on a bike even today,
right,
traveling to Washington, D.C.
Right. Well, Melody and I have been involved with Bright Hope for the last 20 years. And what's drawn us to Bright Hope is they work with the poorest of the poor. Their motto is to help people who make less than a dollar a day have hope for today, hope for tomorrow, and hope for eternity. And we had been with them in Mathari Slum in Kenya. We've been with them in Cuba, where there's a lot of poverty. We've been with them in Haiti. We've been with them in South Africa. But
now, when you say you've been with them, did you go on these mission trips alongside them or just fund them from afar?
No. We've been with Bright Hope to Cuba 15 times, and we've been able to have an impact on people who make about 50 cents a day. And we've been in Mathari Slum in Kenya and handed out sewing machines to widows who we were able to train to make a living, women who otherwise would have absolutely no ability to make it in life, who would just absolutely be dependent on scraps and handouts. So we knew that Bright Hope was already effective. And then just a few years ago, Bright Hope began working in some of these poor villages and found out this tremendous link between poverty and violence, that the poorest people of the world are the most vulnerable to exploitation and to having their girls taken, abducted, or even lied to and promised that they're going to get a job in a city and be able to send money back to the family. And it turns out the job in the city is forced prostitution and nothing comes back to the family.
Mm-hmm.
So Bright Hope is now working in some of the poorest villages in northern India where no one else is working.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking girls that have been rescued by another organization out of brothels and put them into safe houses where they can help put their lives back together and give them some training so that they can actually support themselves and not have to go back into the brothels where it's pretty much the only thing they know to sell their own bodies.
Mm. So 13 years ago, God did this unique, special work by you viewing these shackles on the wall. You started asking some questions. Your heart bled and broke because you're thinking, I have this 13-year-old daughter, and this could be her in other circumstances. And this is happening. These are people's daughters. These are people's sisters. These are human beings that deserve better, and yet because of violence or their situation, they're forced in or kidnapped or taken away and then really shackled. And so this breaking the chains concept, is this like the theme of the tour?
Yes, it is, Mark. And we're going to travel across 11 states from California all the way to Washington, D.C. We'll be coming through Illinois in the middle of June. But along the way, we're going to make some stops. We're going to tell the story. We've got a big RV that's wrapped with our logo, Break the Chains, and Bright Hope's website where people can log on and learn more about the link between poverty and slavery and really abuse of human beings and what they can do about it. So we're just absolutely thrilled to have the opportunity to do this exposure.
In case you just tuned in, I have George Cook on the line with me. He's a managing director of Morgan Stanley, a professional with this organization for like 35-plus years, has been married to Melody for 38 years, and she's, I guess, kind of a behind-the-scenes prayer warrior on your behalf.
Well, Melody is. Melody also goes out, though, and works with some of the poorest of the poor. She was the one that went to the Mathari Slum, one of the poorest and most compact, dense areas of people in extreme poverty in the world, which is where Bright Hope has been working for many years, helping with not only young people with education, but working with widows to help them get a start in life. And keep in mind, Mark, that if you don't have job skill and if you don't have a microenterprise loan and you're a woman in a poor part of the world, in some cases you have almost no choice but to sell your own body. Mm-hmm. And it's just heartbreaking to think that a woman who has no choice but to demean themselves just to put food on the table. So we want to stop that. We want to bring attention to the link between poverty and the sale, the abuse of women and women's bodies, and we want to make a difference. And I know your listeners, many of them are beginning to be aware of this, or perhaps have already begun to make a step in that direction, and we want to continue to spread the word on what can be done.
Now, I know they can follow along on your trek by stopping at brighthope.org, brighthope.org, and they can find more information. In fact, I viewed a number of different little clips and read some things, and sometimes it's a circumstance where maybe it's a healthy family, but the husband passes away, and then because violence in the area, some people come and just throw the mother and child out of the home, take over their business, and, you know, the police or nobody involves themselves in the situation, then they're destitute because of violence.
Well, Mark, you hit the nail on the head. Violence and poverty are absolutely linked. Here in the United States, we take it for granted that if someone's going to break into my home, we can dial 911, and within minutes, there'll be a policeman on the site protecting our rights, protecting our property, protecting our dignity, and taking the bad guy off to jail. There are parts of the globe where, because of poverty, there's not a criminal justice system in place, and so the bullies, the bad guys, walk in and take advantage of the vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really a couple of different ways of approaching poverty and need and exploitation. One is to hand out gifts of food and money and dig wells for clean water. That's important, and we're involved in that. Provide education for children so that they can grow up and get a better job. But if you don't accompany that with justice, if you don't accompany that with training the local authorities in what they can do to prevent the injustice, if you don't train the judges and the prosecutors and make sure that justice is being executed, then a lot of the work that you do in poverty is going to be eradicated by those who are violent and take the things away from those that you've been helping.
Yeah, I really had a paradigm shift, if you will, as I read your materials and saw some of the video presentations about the violence factor, because these bullies really can take advantage of a situation, and if they're not brought to justice, people get exploited, taken advantage of. And I was like, I never really looked at it through those lenses, because we want to feed and help provide clothing and a living situation, but a person wants to go to school, and it's great, and she's on her way to school, and yet she gets violated or kidnapped because of the violence, because of this bully factor.
That's right, Mark. So part of the Break the Chains tour is to not only make awareness of the problem, but part of the funds that we raise is going to actually train justice officials, and it's going to train communities in how to protect themselves and how to protect the most vulnerable. So it's a two-pronged approach. We're helping the girls. We're taking them out of brothels. We're rescuing them. And by the way, that's a dangerous job. And It's not something you want to do without a tremendous amount of training and know exactly how to do it. But we're going to rescue these girls. We'll pull them out of the brothels. We'll take the perpetrators off to jail. We'll take these girls and put them in aftercare, which, by the way, you can only imagine a girl who's been sexually abused multiple times a day, how long it takes her just to begin to trust and to open up and to smile again. And then not only are we helping these young girls, but we're actually then working in the neighborhoods, working through the churches, and working through the justice system to train community leaders and what they can do to make a difference in their own culture.
Great News Radio listener, you can find out more at brighthope.org. brighthope.org, brighthope.org. And I know you'll be traveling through. You're in California now, heading towards Washington, D.C. I think June 21st or 22nd, you'll be in Effingham, Illinois, a little south of our signal coverage, but I know we have listeners in and around that area. Then June 23rd, you'll be in Terre Haute. June 24th, around Indianapolis, the 24th and 25th. And so you'll be in our area, and maybe we can call and get an update, see how God has used this trip, some of the ways you've been able to present this message and educate people and raise funds. So say a listener's like being touched and they feel led of God, I want to give, I want to be praying for you, George, you and your partner, Mike, that'll be biking alongside you. What's the best way for them to get in touch? Is it the brighthope.org website?
Brighthope.org will give you an update on our trip. And as you pointed out, we'll be going between St. Louis and Indianapolis between June 20th and June 24th. We've got a little bit of flexibility. In fact, we've got a day that we've actually planned with a little flexibility in there around the 21st or 22nd. So if there happened to be a listener that said, you know, this would be the kind of thing I'd want to connect with, or I'd like to have meeting somewhere in the Effingham area, that we have you come by and just give us a report, and we'd like to meet you or connect with you. We do have a little bit of flexibility. If they go through brighthope.org, and they can connect with us, and we might have the flexibility to stop and just tell a story as we go through.
Now, is there also a plan where somewhere along the way people can maybe even join you on their own bikes or bike along, or is there some kind of unique way for them to feel a part of this mission to educate people about the heart-wrenching reality of human trafficking?
We would love to have people, Mark, join up with us. You can follow the RV for a few miles, or you can just join with us for half a day or a whole day, or join with us for as many miles as you'd like. There's going to be somewhat of an organized group coming out of St. Louis on June 20th, so there'll be several riders that will ride with us for a couple of hours. And then likewise, June 23rd to 24th, there'll be some riders that'll ride into Indianapolis with us. But if someone wanted to hook on with us along the path between St. Louis and Indianapolis, if you go to brighthope.org and just let us know where you might be, you'll see the map. You'll see where we're our route, where we're going. And if you give a contact and you enjoy being on a bike, we'd love to have you join us.
Yeah, that might be a real tangible way, aside from the prayer effort, that they can be petitioning God on your behalf and then financially supporting you. And the links and all that information is at brighthope.org. Yeah, I know some bikers that might really feel like that's something they want to be a part of. We have about 5 or so minutes left, and I always like to have our listeners get a glimpse into your own faith journey, how God has kind of wooed you to himself, whether you were raised in a Christian home or at a youth camp, came to know Jesus. But your passion, obviously, these last 20 or so years have been, you know, reaching out to the hurting, those that need to hear about the good news message of Jesus and God's love. But who helped or who was influential in your own faith journey?
Yeah, Mark, I came to Christ in a Christian home, but the big influence on my life was Christian camping. I met my wife at Lake Geneva Youth Camp in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin.
Now, when was that?
That was in 1969.
Because I came to Christ in Lake Geneva, Covenant Harbor, as like a 10-year-old at a church camp week.
Oh, my goodness.
So up in the same area. Good things happen there.
Favorite part of my world is Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So we met. Chased her for a number of years before she would marry me. Mm-hmm. But we are currently involved in Willow Creek Church up in South Barrington. Some may have heard of that. And another big part of my training in my life was Moody Radio. The Moody Radio was on in our home when I was in the womb.
Yeah.
And grew up listening to some of the great broadcasts that you continue to broadcast on Great News Radio. So we're grateful for what you're doing. And
Pastor Cole was around that area. I'm sure you were familiar with his program.
Paul Cole, his son, was a roommate of mine at Northern Illinois University. We were involved with Campus Crusade for Christ, which had a big part in my discipleship and really building my passion to share what Christ has done for me with others. So very grateful for what they've done in my life.
Well, I hope our Great News Radio listeners, George, will get involved in a variety of ways. They're prayer warriors financially. They've been so supportive of this radio ministry and many of the causes. And this is something that should really tug at all of our hearts, this human trafficking problem that demoralizes, that leaves these many times younger people without any hope of escape. They just can't even see beyond the abuse, the daily abuse, the starvation, the neglect. It's probably one of the greatest problems you can even imagine, the suffering that just goes on. And so we so appreciate how God has raised you up to bike literally from California to Washington, D.C., to raise awareness, to raise funds, to be hands and feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, even ministering on location, going to various parts of the world, you and your wife. And then the fact, thank you, God, that Morgan Stanley has even been supportive of this endeavor. I know there's a lot of regulations and things.
Yeah, Mark, yeah. Coming up at the end of this month, Morgan Stanley is going to feature our ride in their perspectives on philanthropy. I couldn't be prouder to work for a company like Morgan Stanley, who allows their employees, in fact, encourages their employees to give back to the community and even express it, if they're people of faith, to be able to express that in genuine ways and be able to communicate that to other employees and to the world. So I'm very, very, very proud of my company.
George, in our closing moments, how can our Great News Radio listeners be praying for you and this endeavor, biking from California to Washington, D.C., helping to break the chains and raise the awareness about this problem of human trafficking?
Well, thank you, Mark. I think the first thing to do would be simply allow the pain and the hurt and the abandonment of what 2 million young girls go through, just to let that resonate in the heart and ask the question, God, is there anything that you want me to do about that? Secondly, we'd appreciate prayers. We know that God cares for the widow, for the orphan, for the stranger or the foreigner. And when we support the widow and the orphan, the Bible says that God sees that and he rewards us and he pays us back for everything that we invest in the widow, the orphan, and the stranger. And then finally, if listeners are willing to go to brighthope.org and follow the ride and share something with us, that would mean so much. And we're just grateful to you. We're grateful to Great News Radio for taking the time to listen to this great cause and to get behind it.
Well, thank you, George, for being available for today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
Mark, it's a privilege to be with you.
All right, Great News Radio listeners, the website, brighthope.org, brighthope.org, human trafficking, certainly a topic that we need to be aware of. It's happening throughout the world and throughout our own country here in the United States. So let's be praying up George and Mike and his team that are riding from California to Washington, D.C. And again, you can stop by the website for updates to maybe how you can connect financially and be praying up these two and their team that are raising the awareness of human trafficking. Brighthope.org, brighthope.org. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
Your love compels me, Lord, to see as you would see, to serve as you would serve, to be what you. Your love compels me, Lord, to give as you would give, to speak as you would speak, to live as you would live. Your love compels me, Lord, to see.